noises, the chemical pushers, the environmental thugs, and the certified organophobes. Here to lead you for another hour of Common Sense Gardening, the Doctor of Dirt, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody, to the Healthy Living Radio Network. And we're having a lot of fun today talking about all kinds of things. It's still winter for most of us. The South already breaking out, but the North still under snow. Those of us in the South in Zone 7 and 8 doing some gardening, it's going to be mid-70s today, and this is the time of the year to do the first major fertilization of the year if you're using organic fertilizers, which we recommend, and we recommend getting that out. This hour, by the way, brought to you by the Organic Club of America, and you can see about how to join the club on dirtdoctor.com. Cost a little bit, worth a whole lot, and I hope you can join us. I was talking at the end of the last hour about really cold, hardy palm trees, and the one that's the most cold hardy of all is called needle palm, and it doesn't grow to be a real big, tall, straight trunked palm. It's more of a big bush, but it's beautiful, dark, dark foliage. It gets its name from the needles that come out of the inside part of the tree. In fact, the palm, you got to be careful handling it. They can stick you. It's a pretty well armed plant, although it's all down inside. It's not out on the outside or anything. But I was thinking about mentioning it, and the people up north thinking, well, what about us? You know, what can we grow way up here? Well, it seems that needle palm, everybody tends to agree with me that it is the most cold tolerant of all the palms, and that it can grow without any problem to 6B. Now, 6B means the A and B when you have a zone 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever, 8, whatever it is. The zone A and B indicate a difference in that zone. A will be, for example, 5 degrees colder on average than B. So they're saying that the needle palm, for sure, some of the people selling it say it's for sure okay to 6B, and it has been reported to be doing well in 5, zone 5. That's pretty far north. And I think under an organic program where you have this 4 to 5 degrees protection just from the healthy biological soil and trace minerals into the plant properly and all that, I think those of you in zone 5 could probably give it a shot, because it is a beautiful plant. Slow growing, real slow growing, but man, it's tough, and it's really pretty. Needle palm, and we've got it on our website, dirtdoctor.com. You can go into the library, and everything there is alphabetical, and I've got a couple of articles there about different. In fact, one of them goes into a whole lot more detail than I just did about the cold, hardy aspects of various palm trees, if you're interested in that. 866-444-3478. Linda in Colorado Springs, holding from last hour. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I have a question concerning landscaping. Do you consider it common practice sprinkler systems to trench around trees and cut the roots around the trees to lay the sprinkler?
Well, that's a good question. You have to be, or you should be, careful putting in any kind of utility lines, any kind of ditches at all throughout the roots of existing trees. And there's a couple of things that can be done here, Linda. One is, when you have multiple trees, the best place to run a utility line through an area of trees is to go exactly halfway between one tree and another. In other words, you're as far away from each tree as you can get if they're about the right, they're about the same size. If one's a lot bigger than the other one, you need to go closer to the smaller tree. You see what I mean?
Well, the reason I asked this question is because we hired landscapers to put in a sprinkler system.
Uh-huh.
And they trenched around just under the drip line of a blue spruce, about 21 feet, about 8 feet from the from the trunk of the tree. So, you know, diameter maybe.
All the way around the tree?
Not all the way around. I'd say a third or about a third of the tree.
Okay. All right.
And they cut every root along the way, including one six-inch root. And in the next wind, we're in Colorado Springs, we get wind frequently. The next big wind that came along after they did that, that six-inch root popped up out of the ground.
Oh, boy.
And in the course of 18 months, you know, more roots came up. We tried to weigh that down and bury it, but, of course, there's no doing that. You know, we put huge rocks on it to hold it down. But subsequently, we lost the tree.
Yeah.
And I'm asking if you consider that to be a common practice to do that. The landscapers claim that it's a common practice, therefore they're not liable.
I think it would be classified common incompetence, is what I would call it. I'll say that it's fairly commonly done, but it's incompetence for anybody putting in utility lines to cut through major roots of a tree real close to a tree. The things that could have been done instead is staying way away from them and running the utility lines in toward the trunk of the tree, you know, like
right.
like spokes would come out from a wheel. That way you damage the smallest percentage
of
roots. And then the other thing that's even better way to go, and this is more for future reference than anything, Linda, you can dig trenches with the air spade. The air spade is the tool that we use to uncover trunk flares, you know, that are buried too deep in the ground. And it's a tool that looks like a sandblasting machine that blows out extremely high velocities of air and will knock the soil out without hurting the roots. And you can dig a trench through the roots of trees right where they went, for example, and it wouldn't have hurt the roots at all. And then the pipes or the whatever you're putting in can be threaded underneath the roots, because most of those roots, as you probably saw from the ditches, are real close to the surface of the soil.
Yes, that's particularly true of the of the blue spruce, I understand.
Well, most trees, the roots are shallow, even in cold climates like where you are there in Colorado Springs. So next time, that's all you can do. Do you have some sort of a you know, serious argument against the people that did that? I'd say yes. Being able to collect, you know, they ought to at least help you buy a new tree and work with you on the thing. You know, I certainly wouldn't suggest, you know, making a big legal issue out of it. If you want to do it, that's your business. I think you'd have a case. You'd have to get an arborist to come out and take a look at it and look at all the evidence and all that sort of thing. But no, a contractor should not cut the roots of a tree. It's just common sense. Sometimes you can't avoid it. Sometimes you have to do it. But in the case where you would have to cut some roots, you would need to have somebody involved that understands what they're doing and compensates for it. You know, maybe stakes the plant for a while, fills the ditch in with compost, mycorrhizal fungus, bacteria product. Something that would stimulate the growth, the regrowth in that area very quickly. You know, do something, you know, very proactive, not just cut the roots and walk away and say that didn't hurt the tree. And because anytime you cut the roots of a tree, it hurts the tree.
Well, yeah, we came out as he finished cutting the big root, you know, just coming out routinely to see what's going on, and it had been done. I mean, just minutes before we walked out, and we were in shock that they had done that. And he said, oh, no, it's fine. It'll be fine. Well, that beautiful blue spruce is gone.
Well, do you have photographs of all that?
Yes, and we submitted it. The landscaper himself refused to acknowledge that he had any part in that, and we went ahead with their insurance company. And they're offering, you know, minimum, you know, replacing the tree and so forth. You know, the value of the tree is a lot more than the replacement cost.
Oh, yeah, it hurts your property value and everything else. If you took really good pictures of the ditch and the cut root and all that kind of thing, it would probably be worth your money to hire as a consultant an arborist to come in and look at it, you know, some other company that's a certified arborist, and then go back to them and say, you know, we want a little bit more help on this because you did a lot of damage to our property.
Well, and we did. We did all that, and we took it to the insurance company directly because the man wouldn't.
Let me talk to you off the air a little bit more. I got a break, and if there's anything I need to pass on to everybody, I will. Don't worry. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back right after this. There's a small dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas, and it's the one I recommend. My dogs eat only Munster natural dog food. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you by now. Main thing to my dogs is the taste, but Judy and I notice how it makes them look and feel. The absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients, including prebiotics and L-carnitine, and the presence of some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time are all important. Some of the Munster products have no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so there's something for everyone. Munster natural pet foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA, not in China. Everything about Munster natural is quality and results in healthy cats and dogs. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the products in your area for your dogs and cats.
Tired of poor-performing crops, gardens, or lawns? Texas Plant and Soil Lab offers you the most accurate and thorough soil nutrition test in the industry. Our special method is accurate for every soil type and in all areas of the country. The quality of the water you use for irrigation is also critical to the health of your soil and plants. We can provide you with a complete analysis and corrective recommendations for your water. Go to AskThePlant.com today to see useful information and a full description of our services. That's AskThePlant.com or call 956-383-0739. BioSI is a leading manufacturer of beneficial microbe and enzyme products. BioSI products help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, reduce fertilization needs, and help reduce irrigation needs. BioSI can be used to treat flowers, lawns, shrubs, and trees, as well as herb and vegetable gardens. Water Doctor by BioSI cleans and maintains ponds, lakes, and water gardens. Contact them today at 866-393-4786 or on the web at biositechnology.com. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
One of the most important organic product manufacturers in Texas is the Medina Corporation down in Hondo, Texas. The company's been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil-building products longer than anyone in the business. Medina has quality fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulas. Medina products work by stimulating the soil biology to help all plants. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products that help you spend your budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right at the same time. They have a brand new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food, which is great. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com, and you'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell quality organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Mark, back with you, and we talked a little bit more off the air there about the contractor killing the tree, basically cutting too many roots and everything, and she had received a settlement offer, and I told her it sounded pretty reasonable compared to, you know, all the trouble and the cost of taking it to court and, you know, making a bigger deal out of it. It's unfortunate. It happens a lot more than it should. When you're doing work around valuable trees, the landscape contractors either need to be careful, use air spades so they protect the roots of trees, use mulches on the surface of the soil, you know, go out of the way. Landscape contractors should be very, very sensitive and aware of that. Unfortunately, a lot of them aren't. And getting a certified arborist to come in and help you in situations like that, again, is often something that we recommend. They had done that, by the way. Ron in Brookings, Oregon, next up. Hello, Ron.
Hey, good morning, Howard.
What's going on?
First, I ask you a suggestion on miniature and little dwarf apple trees, maybe 4 or 5 years or more old, that won't produce fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had much experience with that?
No, I was talking to Bob Webster about a kind of a similar subject on his show yesterday, and he was saying that several of his callers were calling about pomegranate trees that were growing well but not producing fruit, and asked me what my suggestion was, and I said that the only thing that I do different, I've had tremendous production on our pomegranate. I usually don't get very much of the fruit because the possums and the raccoons and the squirrels and the birds and all the other wildlife get it. I haven't totally solved that issue yet. But I told Bob that the only thing that I do differently is, other than the, you know, just basic organic program that we all in the organic arena use, I do foliar feed the food crops that I grow a little bit more consistently with the Garrett Juice Plus, you know, that has the fish in it, and put the mycorrhizal fungus and bacteria products in the soil. That's the only thing that I do differently. And I think if you do a total organic program and you do that as well and you still don't have very good fruit production on what you're growing, you ought to give up and plant something else.
Well, that was a situation several times 20 years ago, and previous to that, this old apple farmer had told me, I was telling him about these friends in Klamath, California, that lived in this deep, dark canyon. They had these nice shaped fruit trees, but they wouldn't produce, and the old lady wanted to know what to do. Well, the tip that this guy gave me in this time of the year, before or just about when the buds break, is to go out there with a bat or a pipe. Are you still there?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, oh, okay. To go out with a bat or pipe and bruise the bark down by the knees of the tree. Just bruise them. Go around the tree and bruise it. And what he said, what they did, is if the sap doesn't flow up, then they say it's, what it is a lack of enough sap to make the fruit. It bruise them trees and then wait and see what it does that year, and if not, get rid of it. Well, I beat these five trees, and they all produced fruit.
Well, that's great, but what's going on there is not what they told you. It does work, but it's not exactly what they were telling you there. The same thing will work on tomatoes, and we've learned this through the years from some of the old gardeners that have been around a long time. If you go into a tomato planting where the plants are looking real good and not producing any flowers and not setting fruit, if you take an old tennis racket or something like that, kind of like you're suggesting, and whop them around pretty good, rough them up pretty good, they will definitely set flowers and fruit for you. Same exact thing as beating on the trunk, but it's not doing anything like helping the sap move more or anything like that. What it's doing is creating a situation where the plant is trying to protect its progeny. It's trying to protect its offspring to be able to survive, because it thinks it's being killed. It's being hurt. And so it produces more flowers and more seed and more fruit, at least temporarily during that period of time, than it normally would. That's why you see holly trees, when they've gone through a drought stress or something like that, or some other plant that's gone through some really bad weather or stress. Pecan trees will do that. Oak trees will have an abundance of acorn production when it's been a stressful year. It's the same kind of thing going on.
And of course we have a lack of minerals here on the coast with so much rain. Sometimes it works.
Yep, that'll work temporarily. Long term, I think your plants would finally give up the ghost. But it's a good tip. I appreciate you calling with it. Thank you, Ron.
Okay, later.
Talk to you later. Appreciate it. It's Dale's turn in Waco. Hello, Dale.
Good morning, Howard. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, listen, long time listener, sometime caller. Just kudos. Great questions this morning. I guess everybody's just got garden in their mind.
Kind of interesting stuff today. Yeah, sure is.
Oh, man. Listen, I've got a good garden, four beds, about 50 feet long, grow beans, squash, okra, peas, cucumber, you know, the usual suspects.
Yeah.
Developing my lawn, I've got a new bed out front about 25 feet long. Last year, moved a bunch of daylilies there. A couple of dwarf mandinas, some stuff that was pretty drought tolerant, didn't need to water a lot.
Dale, let's talk about this planting. Sounds like you got more detail when we come back, okay? Howard Garrett, don't go away. We'll be back after this.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Police in Brazil say there was only one way out of a big nightclub in Santa Maria, where a fire killed at least 245 people early this morning. Nearly 1,000 were inside when the blaze erupted. Many people were trampled to death trying to escape. Several hundred suffered severe injuries. One young activist in the Egyptian city of Port Said says, quote, "We are very worried about what may happen after the burial." That's where activists and mourners are in the streets following the funeral for 35 people killed in rioting yesterday, the moment things are calm. A senior Israeli cabinet minister warning that the transfer of Syria's chemical weapons to Hezbollah guerrillas in Lebanon could trigger an Israeli attack. Vice Prime Minister Sylvan Shalom has confirmed to Israel Army Radio the top security officials held a meeting last week to discuss Syria's chemical weapons arsenal. This is SRN News.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-801-9691. 1-800-801-9691. That's 1-800-801-9691. 1-800-801-9691.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. The New York Knicks lead the Atlantic Division and are second in the Eastern Conference, but they've lost 5 of 8, including 97-80 at Philadelphia Saturday. 76ers guard Jrue Holiday had a career-high 35 points.
We came off really aggressive offensively. Again, I think that triggered from our defense, but again, we made a lot of things happen, you know, in transition, getting stops, getting easy buckets. That's all good.
The Sixers are 18-25. Washington held Chicago to 11 points in the third quarter and beat the Bulls 86-73. San Antonio earned their 8th straight win, shutting down Phoenix 108-99. Spurs forward Steven Jackson says Tony Parker, with 31 points, has been invaluable.
The guy's been out. He's been the only guy that's been out there all the time. He's been carrying his team. When we need buckets, he makes us a bucket. When we need plays, he makes the play. Like, it's unbelievable what he's doing right now.
The Spurs are 36-11 and in a virtual tie with Oklahoma City atop the Western Conference. The LA Clippers, third in the West, dropped their 4th straight, 101-100, to Portland. This is SRN Sports. Brooklyn trailed by as many as 18 in the first half and losing 119-106 at Houston. Denver led by as many as 35 in the second half and route to a 121-93 dunking of Sacramento. Cleveland beat Toronto 99-98. It was Charlotte 102, Minnesota 101, Milwaukee 109, Golden State 102. Utah overtimed Indiana 114-110. Two-time defending champion Novak Djokovic has defeated Andy Murray to win the men's Australian Open title. Victoria Azarenka will retain the number one ranking after winning her second straight Australian Open women's crown, rallying past China's Li Na. Li Na says she was initially concerned when she blacked out for a couple of seconds in the third set after falling down and hitting her head on the court.
I was totally black. So when the physio came, she was like focusing my finger. I was start laughing, you know. I was feeling this is a tennis court, not like hospital.
Li Na moved into the top five despite the loss. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And we were talking to Dale about, you're giving us some details about what you've set up there. Go ahead, Dale. Sorry to have a little break there.
Oh, no, that's okay. Yeah, I didn't mean to go into too many details. What I was going to get at is, so I got this set out front, and I'm, like a lot of people, I think, I'm into edible landscaping. And this bed I set up last year, I did a lot of what I consider drought-tolerant plants. Didn't have to water a lot, daylilies and some dwarf mandina and some other stuff. But I also did a lot of basil in there. In fact, I was way too successful. The bees loved it, but it required a lot of pruning to keep it viable all summer long.
Yeah.
So I want to go with asparagus. You were talking about asparagus last week or the week before, and I like what you were saying about asparagus, and I love asparagus, about not having to do all that trenching, just plant it and let it grow. So my question is, how water thirsty is asparagus? And I've seen, you know, the ornamental varieties that people grow. I've had them. I have no experience with it.
Well, it's pretty drought tolerant. You need to water it some to have good production, but it's not an extremely thirsty kind of a plant. And it is pretty easy to grow. I think asparagus is a lot easier to grow than a lot of people would think. You buy the hands that are sold in the garden centers and plant them. You know, we're getting pretty close right now to the ideal time to get them planted in the ground, just well-prepared soil, and soak them in a little Garrett juice for 30 minutes or so and plant them and then cover with a nice thick layer of shredded mulch of some kind, and you're on your way.
Spacing?
The spacing can be anywhere from It's kind of debatable, really. I think people plant them anywhere from about 15 inches apart to 3 feet apart, Dale.
Wow.
Some people maybe even wider than that. If you plant them pretty close together and they get to be all jammed up, you can divide them pretty easily in the winter and spread them out, too. So,
Can I prune the fronds? I assume these are going to grow like the ornamental varieties I've seen. I mean, I've never seen asparagus growing in a vegetable crop. So
yeah, there's two ways to manage asparagus. One, which is the most common, is to the first year you don't prune – you don't cut any spears off. You let it all just grow up into the real pretty ferny fronds and let it develop, the structure to have good production the next year. I think that's nuts because I want to eat some the first year. So what I do is I cut some of them off and eat them, usually grazing in the garden. You know, sometimes they never even make it to the kitchen. And then let some of the canes go ahead and grow up and form the foliage. You know, it's going to produce photosynthesis to build the roots for the next year. Other people will say, go ahead, not the first year, but the second year is where the two different management techniques come in, really. Some people will say cut all of the spears for some period of time and eat them all. And then after several weeks, you stop and you let the fronds growing up and produce the rest of the summer for the next crop. I tend to be in the second category, and that's to do what I did to a less degree the first year. Cut some of the spears and eat them. Let some of the stalks grow on up and become foliage.
Can I prune those fronds? I mean, if they get too bushy,
oh yeah, sure.
Bed.
Yeah, and they will. They'll get big. Mine this year were 4-5 feet tall and falling all over the place. What we did was take some twine and wrap it all around and pull it in, kind of cinch it up so it's staying a little bit more upright and it wasn't getting out into the walkways and onto other plants. The other thing you can do with asparagus, and I've done quite a bit of it, is put the asparagus plantings in the bed prep, in the landscaping. You can put it over into ground cover beds and mixed in with shrubs to be part of your landscaping. It's really, as you know, a real beautiful, fine textured fronds that or foliage that grows up that looks good.
But it needs full sun, right?
Full sun for best production. That's right.
Awesome.
So do a little bit of both, and don't be afraid to mix it in with other plants. It'll do fine there, and you'll have a source of asparagus for a long time.
Can I ask you a question about potatoes?
Yeah.
Okay, year before last, I tried them. Here's what I did. I bought seed potatoes from the seed store. I think they were called Kennebec. Also, people keep telling me you can just take them from the store. I planted some whole. I cut some up. I let them dry. Planted them, you know, with eyes on them. I tried it every way I knew how. I guess my question—they were miserable. They were about the size of little pearl onions.
Did you get them from the grocery store or from a nursery?
I tried both. I actually tried both, and I had success with neither.
Well, you need to get the starting potatoes from a nursery or mail order them and make sure that they're seed potatoes. Some of the stuff in the grocery store will have been treated to kill the eyes from sprouting, and they won't do anything at all. And that's probably at least part of what you got there. And if you can find organically grown ones, that's best. But get the good quality potatoes first from a nursery or from a mail order place that's selling them for that purpose, and plant them as soon as possible. We recommend planting them earlier than most people do. And I also plant the entire potato. I don't cut them up.
You don't cut them up?
No.
What how deep? And I keep hearing you talk about over the years, as I say, I've been listening to you about these straw techniques and these bin techniques. Do you just let them, you just plant them deeply and let the vines run, or do you have to keep covering them? I'm confused about potatoes.
No, the simplest thing is to plant them under the soil, just about as much soil on top of them as the width of the seed potato, maybe a little bit more. after soaking them in some, I'd treat them with some Garrett Juice Plus and mycorrhizal fungus, just like I do any kind of seed or transplant, and then put some mulch over the top of that. We experimented for a while with putting them on just the top of the soil and putting a great big thick layer of mulch, like a foot thick, on top, like Ruth Stout recommended. And that doesn't work very well down here in the South where it's hot. It works up north where you have better soils and cooler temperature, but in the South it burns them up. They don't do well at all. They need to be planted underground and then mulch put on top of that. And as they grow, let them grow. And if you've planted them that way, you don't have to continue to add more soil and all that. You can, and they'll tend to produce more potatoes at a higher elevation. In fact, some people grow potatoes vertically. They'll grow them in these kind of compost setups, put them in the bottom, and as they start to grow, they throw a little more mulch and compost on top and keep going up and up and up. We've got an old newsletter and some information on the website about that if you want to look at that.
Okay. Thanks, Howard.
Dale, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Good luck with your garden. Let's go to Roberto in Plano, Texas. Hey, Roberto.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
Doing great.
That was actually a very interesting call. I'm glad the caller
a lot of good ones today. Yeah.
Yeah. Mine should be pretty simple. I have a couple questions. My backyard is about 1,000 square feet.
Uh-huh.
And all summer long, I was pulling out Dallas grass in the back. And now I noticed that a whole bunch of winter grass has taken over there. And so about half the lawn is green right now, and the rest of it is dormant St. Augustine.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering, what do you recommend? Do you recommend that I spray the vinegar solution on the winter grass and kill that off and then resod? Or?
Well, that was exactly what my front yard at the at our office that I had tortured for, long story, a lot of different reasons, looked like 2 days ago. I had rescue grass and winter weeds coming up where we had around the edges where we were putting in some new sod and doing some experimental things. And I just sprayed it with a combination of things. I did an experimental spray, and I use the vinegar recipe that's on dirtdoctor.com in some areas. I use the commercial product called Avenger in others. And I use the commercial product called Monterey Organic Herbicide in some other areas. And I combined the vinegar with the fatty acid products in some tests. I'll tell you this, that combining the vinegar formula that I've got, you know, in the books and on the website, together with the fatty acid commercial products will kill the best. You know, if you want to make sure that you've killed whatever you're spraying. But to do it right now, you can spray the whole lawn. It won't hurt the summer grasses, and it'll kill the winter weeds with any of those products.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if I wanted to try just the vinegar solution that you have.
It'll work fine.
Yeah.
Works great. 10% vinegar, an ounce or two of orange oil, and a teaspoon of BioWash product or Lemon Joy or something like that.
Okay. And I can't expect the St. Augustine to spread out and recover that area.
Well, if it's completely gone in an area and dead, it's going to take a while before it spreads from other areas into that area. So to speed up the process, it would be better if your budget allows it and if you have the time to go ahead and buy some solid sod and put into those blank areas. But the vinegar spray is not going to hurt the St. Augustine that's there or prevent it from spreading once things start growing in the spring.
Okay.
All right.
If I use that Monterey fatty solution, I forget what you called it. What's the mixture ratio?
It has it right on the label. It's labeled as a herbicide, and it tells you to mix it 6-to-1 or something like that. But whatever it recommends on the label, that's what I'd do.
But I mean, with the vinegar.
Oh, vinegar. What you do is you mix the vinegar like it's ready to be sprayed by itself. And you mix the whatever else you're going to use, the fatty acid, like it's going to be used by itself, and just mix the two together at that rate. Both of them mix like they would be used by themselves. You see what I mean?
So 1-to-1?
Yeah, then 1-to-1's fine, sure. You could experiment and do one heavier than the other because the vinegar is probably going to be cheaper. You might do the vinegar as much as 80%, 80-20. But experiment with the ratios and see which way works best for you. I think they'll all work. It's just a question of which one works best for you at the best price.
Gotcha. Okay, one other quick question. In my house, a lot of moths have been showing up.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering if you've been getting callers with the same issues.
Oh, we have plenty of moth issues at our house. I recommend bringing a pest control company in, like I use EcoSafe Pest Control, and they can use the glue traps that hang that are very effective, and also spray some things that are organic and will control them. So go that route with one of the pest control companies or do the thing yourself with what we recommend on the website.
Did you know that two of the top five most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
The Natural Organic Warehouse provides state-of-the-art natural organic products and programs. If you are a grower, farmer, rancher, landscape contractor, or homeowner who expects excellent results, convenience, and to save money, then you need to visit naturalorganicwarehouse.com. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com. Once again, naturalorganicwarehouse.com. The Natural Organic Warehouse. Organic programs and products that work. Howard Garrett's new book, Organic Management for the Professional, is the first comprehensive guide to going green in large-scale landscaping, soil building, correct planting techniques, fertilizing, and pest control. You will learn how to apply these organic methods in large-scale landscaping, such as orchards, tree farms, and greenhouses, as well as recreational properties such as golf courses and parks. The Organic Management for the Professional is written for landscape architects and contractors, golf course managers, park administrators, turf managers, or other stewards of the land. Buy it today from your local bookstore, retailer, or the Natural Organic Warehouse. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
There's a small dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas, and it's the one I recommend. My dogs eat only Munster natural dog food. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you by now. Main thing to my dogs is the taste, but Judy and I notice how it makes them look and feel. The absence of toxic preservatives and the presence of the highest quality ingredients, including prebiotics and L-carnitine, and the presence of some very unusual ingredients that I've been recommending for a long time are all important. Some of the Munster products have no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones, so there's something for everyone. Munster natural pet foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made right here in the USA, not in China. Everything about Munster Natural is quality and results in healthy cats and dogs. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com about how to get the products in your area for your dogs and cats.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and let's go to, by the way, I'm going to try to talk about bed preparation before we leave today. I have some questions coming in about what I recommend and don't recommend for bed preparation. Kay, it's your turn from Euless.
Hi, Howard. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Your call screener is awesome.
You like old David, huh?
Yeah, he's a nice guy. last week you had a truck driver from Minnesota that came in, and he was talking about friends.
Yep.
Organic went to organic, Dick went organic, and he said that it took that farmer 14 years to get the soil prepared, you know, to be organic. And I was wondering, why in the world wouldn't they just use zeolite, and would it take zeolite that long to amend the soil?
No, the length of time it takes some soil, no matter what the project is, whether it's a vegetable garden or landscaping or something in between, will vary depending on how badly it was contaminated in the beginning, and also what the products are and what the program is that's used. And his friends were probably doing a fairly limited number of things per year. You're right. If you use zeolite, if you've got some kind of really contaminated property that's, you know that it's a mess, and putting a whole lot of zeolite into the beds, that zeolite grabs and locks up things real fast, almost immediately. Same thing with carbon. Activated carbon does the same thing. We've had situations where chemical lawn care company sprayed the wrong property, and the people had used activated carbon, and the people, being chemically sensitive, could immediately go out on the property. It ties up things that fast. The thing that's slower is to build the warehouse of nutrients and available trace minerals and everything, so you're getting the very best quality production off of that land. Tying up the toxic part of it, use my detox program with activated carbon and zeolite as part of it, and you're pretty much detoxed from the very beginning. It's just to kick the production up, it takes a little bit longer. But if you use zeolite as part of your program, you're exactly right. It does it in a hurry.
Yes. I just thought that was so sad that it took 14 years.
Well, I think basically what he was saying, it took, they'd been working on it 14 years, and it just got better and better and better, and it was just now at the point where it was really producing like they would like. That doesn't.
Well, I still think that if they used zeolite in the very beginning, it wouldn't have taken 14 years to get good production.
No, I agree. If you use zeolite and if you use some kind of a very fine textured humate or activated carbon, it really speeds up the process.
Is that activated carbon? Is that charcoal?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. All right. Oh, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kay. Appreciate your call. Yeah, any kind of carbon will work. The finer texture it is, the better it works. Activated charcoal works the best because it just grabs and holds on to things so well. But so does zeolite. And by the way, those of you around the country that are scratching your head hearing that word for the first time, zeolite's a natural material. It functions. Well, first of all, the origin of it is volcanic dust blown in the air, you know, millions of years ago. And then that dust forms a situation in the soil where it becomes a mineral called zeolite that has an extremely unusual physical structure. It's a latticework type structure that has holes all in it. It has micropores. It has macropores and micropores. The macropores you can see pretty easily with a microscope. The micropores are actually these tiny, tiny little pores that are in the skeletal structure of the mineral itself. And both of those pores are where contaminants and some nutrients are captured and held, and they're held with and then released later when they're needed in the soil with great efficiency. So the zeolite becomes not only a detox material, but a buffering material and a metering material for certain nutrients. And it's a great tool. I have probably the best production in the vegetable garden experiments where I've used lots and lots of zeolite. It's a terrific product. And if you're having trouble finding it in your garden center or feed store, you can go to the farm store, feed store type places, and ask them for horse stall products that are for odor control and to soak up urine and things like that. And a lot of those products, if you read the label, it'll be nothing but a bag of zeolite. That's all it is. Those products are easier to find than buying a zeolite that's sold for horticulture and agricultural use. The zeolite companies have not been all that helpful at working with us to keep the horticultural tools on the market. Mark and Kirk, hang on. I'll help you off the air. Best time to, if you got to go, best time to apply winter amendments to fertilizers. Right now, best time for the first major fertilization of the year. Also, as soon as things start growing, spraying with Garrett Juice Plus, which has the liquid fish in the product, just works better. And if you got anything else, we'll talk off there. Same with you, Kirk, in Durango, Colorado. Great calls today. Appreciate you being with me. Enjoy your gardens wherever you are. And don't forget to feed the birds. I'll see you next time.